Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Nandana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Nandana. Yamuna Tiravana Chariramana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Nandana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Nandana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Nandana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Nandana. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Yeah. जयो राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य स्तोत्र सात श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस इस भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस कॉन्फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नमः आचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रिंस कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासुदेव गौर भक्त वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय श्री माया पूर्ण वदित धाम की जय गंगा माई की जय यमुना माई की जय श्रीमती तुलसी देवी महारानी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vatanishni Mata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinamani. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Sashashini Adi Vishachas. Hare Krishna. So this is Leela Nanda Das, and today is Friday, February 6, 2015, and we are in Alatra, planet Earth. We have been in other planets, believe me. Brahmanda Ramite Konya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 60, Texts 27 and 28. So we're continuing the story that Krishna says certain things that makes Rukmini very afraid that Krishna is going to leave her. So she's very concerned that she actually faints. And then the Lord manifests his four hands to pick her up, sit her on the bed, and take care of her with his four hands. So we can read together Text 27, 28, 29, and 30. And then 31, we can have a call and response. Okay. Pramrija shukale netre stano cho pahato shucha ashlisha bahuna rajam ananya vishayam satim Santvaya masha santvagya kripaya kripanam prabhu hasya praudhi brahmachitam ata arham satam gati Translation. Wiping her tear-filled eyes and her breasts, which were stained by tears of grief, the Supreme Lord, the goal of his devotees, embraced his chaste wife, who desired nothing but him, O King. So this obviously is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. Expert in the art of pacification, Sri Krishna tenderly counseled pitiable Rukmini, whose mind was bewildered by his clever joking and who did not deserve to suffer so. Shri Bhagavam Uvacha Mama Vaidharbhyashu Yetha Janetvam Matparayanam Tvavacha Shrutukamena Shrilyacharita Mangane. The Supreme Lord said, O Vaidharbhi, do not be displeased with me. I know that you are fully devoted to me. I only spoke in jest, dear lady, because I wanted to hear what you would say. That's very meaningful, because the Lord wanted to hear what Rukmini would say. And actually, the best part of the story, in my view, is when Rukmini starts talking. It's just amazing, things that she says. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, Lord Krishna spoke the present verse because he thought that lovely Rukmini might be afraid he would again say something to disturb her, or that she might be angry at what he had done. Now, text 30. Mukham cha prema sambrambha spurita dharamikshitum katakshe parunapamgam sundara bhrukuti tatam. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I also wanted to see your face with lips trembling in loving anger, the reddish corner of your eyes throwing sidelong glances, and the line of your beautiful eyebrows knit in a frown. Now, purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains here that normally, by the Lord's transcendental desire, his pure devotees reciprocate with him in such a way that they satisfy his spiritual desires. But Rukmini's love was so strong that her unique mood predominated in this situation, and thus, instead of becoming angry, she fainted and fell to the ground. Far from displeasing Krishna, however, she increased his transcendental ecstasy by exhibiting her all-encompassing love for him. That's really nice, no? So the Lord was expecting one thing, that Rukmini would become angry. Why was it like a reasonable expectation that Rukmini would become angry? Jamasthami Prabhu? Maybe we should give the microphone.
Well, she was accustomed to him always being with her and always speaking such pleasing words. And here it seems that he's pulling out of the relationship. You know, he doesn't want anymore. And so this would be a normal womanly response to, you know, breaking a commitment.
What about her background? She comes from a Kshatriya family.
Well, that's there, yeah. That's there. So one would expect that kind of some fire from Kshatriya.
Thank you, Prabhu. So now let's repeat. I am hi parama labha griheshu grihamedhinam yat narmai yate yamaha priyaya bhiru bhamini. I am hi paramo labho I am hi paramo labho. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Yam narmai iyate yamaha. Priyaya bhirubhamini. I am hi paramo labho. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Yam narmai iyate yama. Priyaya bhirubhamini. I am hi paramo labho. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Yam narmariyate yama. Priyaya bhirubhamini. I am hi paramo labho. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Yanama iyate na priyaya bhirubhamini. I am hi paramo labho. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Yam narmariyate yama. Priyaya bhirubhamini. I am hi paramo labho. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Yam narmariyate yama. Priyaya bhirubhamini. I am hi paramo labho. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Yam narmariyate yama. Priyaya bhirubhamini. Matajis. I am hi paramo labho. Griheshu grihamedhinam. Priyaya bhirubhamini. Anybody else? I am this. He indeed. Parama, the greatest. Labha, gain. Griheshu, in family life. Grihamedhinam, for worldly householders. Yat, which. Narmai, with joking words. Yate, is spent. Yamaha, time. Priyaya, with one's beloved. Bhiru, O timid one. Bhamini, O temperamental one. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The greatest pleasure worldly householders can enjoy at home is to spend time joking with their beloved wives. My dear timid and temperamental one. And do we know this? Purport. The word Bhamini indicates an angry, passionate, temperamental woman. Since lovely Rukmini did not become angry despite all provocation, the Lord is still speaking facetiously. Let me read this again. The word Bhamini indicates an angry, passionate, temperamental woman. Since lovely Rukmini did not become angry despite all provocation, the Lord is still speaking facetiously. So, if you ever lived in New York and you took the subway, you would see this. You know, like an angry, passionate, and temperamental woman. Yeah, you've seen this many, quite often, actually. Nothing against women, just mentioning this. So on the very first verse, it explains that the Lord embraced her, Ashlisia. And yesterday, Trivikram Prabhu mentioned on the class the verse from the Shikshastaka. The Shikshastaka was written in Sanskrit by Lord Chaitanya. And the last verse, no, there are 8 prayers. And the last prayer is exactly the prayer that the Lord, is summarized everything. Ashlisha, he used the same word again. Ashlisha va padaratam pinashtumam. Adarshanam marmahatam karutuva. Yatha tathava vidadhatu lampatu. Mat prana natastu saivana param. He says that Ashlisha va padaratam pinashtumam. Padaratam means that I took shelter at your lotus feet. Ashlisha va padaratam. Now, if you ashlisha, if you embrace me affectionately, or pinashtumam, or if you trample on me. I don't know if you have seen in Mayapur, and I have seen other places also, they have this beds of flower. What kind of flower is it? The orange and yellow carnation? I'm not sure. Marigold? Okay. They have this, it looks like a carpet, but sometimes the cows, they escape their environment. They walk over those flowers and they smash every single one of them. Or they trample over them. So in this verse explains this, that my Lord, I took shelter of your lotus feet, padaratam, and ashlisha, if you embrace me, or pinashtumam, or if you just trample over me, ashlisha va padaratam pinashtumam, adarshanam, or marmahatam karutuva, or marmahatam means that if you break my heart because you are not present before me, marmahatam karutuva, yata tata. No. This yatatata we often see in verses throughout the Vedic literature. Like we say, ye yatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham, or yasya devi para bhaktir yatha devi tatha guru, or dehino is meaning yatha dehi kaumaram jovananjara tatha dehantara prapati. So yatha and tatha is often together, which means as it was done before, so it is now, or in this way or that way. In this verse specifically, yatha tatha vidadatu lampato, like in either way that you treat me, nicely or not nicely, mata pranas natu saiva napara, mata pranas. Mataprenas, Eshlishava, Padaratam Pinashtumam, Madarshana Marmahatan Kurtuva, Yathatatava, Vidadhatu Lampatu, Matprananatas. Matprananatas means that Natas means the Lord. Matprana, the Lord of my life. You are always the Lord of my life. In any circumstance. Matprananatas to Saiva, Napara. Napara means in no other Lord. There's no other person that is my Lord. So this is very much Rukmini's situation, because Rukmini is an expansion of Srimati Radharani in Dwaraka. And Lord Chaitanya, he came in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this Shikshastaka is like the prayers from Srimati Radharani to Krishna. So this is very much her mood. My Lord, if you stay with me, or if you leave me, or if you embrace me, or if you chastise me, no, mat prananatas nusayiva napara. That you are always my Lord, and nobody else is my Lord. Because Krishna was proposing to her that, no, I think you should consider finding somebody suitable for you. Because there were so many kings interested in marrying you, and you decided to marry a coward boy, you know? Then imagine a qualified woman that she's the daughter of a king and she could marry some prince from a big city like New York City or England, and she decides to marry a coward boy from Malatra. It's just a village in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if you know this, but nobody knows Elatra. You know, when I talk on the phone with people from other places, and they say, oh, where are you guys located? So we're in Elatra. Oh, what? Even one person said, is that in the U.S.? No, because you talk overseas often. You know, people answer the phone in India and other places. So, no, it's in the U.S. Yeah. So why would she marry somebody from the village, a coward boy? You know. So Krishna was telling her this. Why did you make this decision? You know, you should go and marry somebody else. But Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, he says, Krishna was proposing that Rukmini divorce him at a time when Rukmini already had many grown-up children. Therefore, Krishna's whole proposition appeared to be something unexpected, because according to the Vedic culture, there was no such a thing as separation of husband and wife by divorce, like Prabhupada says. Nor was it possible for Rukmini to choose a new husband at her advanced age. Does anybody know this was after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, correct? You know? Before? How do you know? Huh? Nor was it possible for Rukmini to choose a new husband at her advanced age, when she had many married sons. To Rukmini, every one of Krishna's proposals appeared crazy, and she was surprised that Krishna could say such things. Simple as she was, her anxiety was increasing more and more at the thought of separation from Krishna. So she was very disturbed. But then Krishna decided to make up for that. So actually in our lives, it's hard to go through your existence, to traverse this life without ever hurting anybody, without ever saying anything that will displease someone. It's very difficult, because often people will become displeased with us for one reason or another. Sometimes there's a good reason, sometimes there's no reason. And what I could learn from this, that when Krishna saw that Rukmini was not actually taking it as a joke, she took it very seriously, that she fainted, he immediately made up for that. Forearms, picked her up, taking care of her, speaking sweet words, using his power of, how it's explained in one of the previous verses, of pacifying other person. So we need to do that as well, often in our life. We cannot be insensitive. We can be transcendentalists, but not insensitive to anybody's pain and sorrow. No. Even Prabhupada, when he was in Mayapur one time, and he saw that some children were fighting with dogs for food. So he had tears in his eyes. And he said, within, I can't remember the number of miles, within a 10-mile radius, nobody should go hungry. Yeah. One could say, well, that's their karma. No, but the Prabhupada didn't see it like that. No, we have compassion for the body and for the soul. We don't just ignore the body because it's a material body. No, it's also a temple of Krishna. It's not only a Hare Krishna devotee body that's a temple of Krishna. Everybody is a temple of Krishna. Every single one. And Prabhupada, in a letter to Prajuna, New York, 27 of April, 1967, he said, when Krishna appeared on the earth, Prajuna appeared as his son, born of Rukmini. In a Bhagavad Gita lecture in London, July 16, 1973, he said, Rukmini also, the first wife of Krishna, the first queen. When Krishna became king of Dwaraka, she was the first queen. And because this verse also mentions the last verse, Grihishu Griha Medinam. When I was a brahmachari, we used to hear this verse a lot, Grihishu Griha Medinam. It was a common thing they used to say. But Prabhupada says here in a morning walk, April 13, 1974 in Bombay, this is Griha Medi, Grihishu Griha Medinam. Vedic culture is that one must rise early in the morning. And even Krishna, in his Grihastha life, immediately he rose up. Rukmini was disturbed because womanly nature, and again immediately taking bath and meditation. This is Vedic culture. And sleeping up to 7 and then taking tea in bed without washing teeth. Oh, and he thinks he's advanced. And he's sleeping up to 7 and taking tea in bed without washing teeth, and he thinks he's advanced. You see? And if one is asked to rise early in the morning and wash yourself, take bath and attend Mangalartik, oh, that's old way, old fashioned. You see? Griheshu Grihamedina, Prabhupada saying. So spiritual life, waking up in the morning and worshiping Krishna, is for everyone. I remember listening to a class of Radhanath Swami. No, he was in the Himalayas in cave, and also in Greece in cave. And eventually he came back to the U.S. and he went to his parents' apartment in Miami on the 4th floor. And then his mother had a nice room for him. But now for a long time he was only sleeping outside under trees on the bank of the rivers or caves. He said, I'm not going to sleep here. This is sense gratification. This is Maya. And his father said, what is Maya? Maya is illusion. So they had a porch, a little front area of the apartment, just cement, where people used to sunbathe. Said, I'm going to sleep there. So 4 o'clock in the morning, he woke up. And he was doing aarti with the bell. And offering a ghee lamp to a picture of Radha Krishna. His father woke up, and he was with his back to the door. His father said, what is this? It's 4 o'clock. Nobody rings bell at 4 o'clock. You're going to wake up all the neighbors. He looked at his father and said, but I'm worshiping Krishna. And he went back and kept doing his aarti early in the morning. It's a long story. And in Bombay, December 3rd, 1974, Prabhupada said, just like Rukmini Devi, she is Lakshmi Devi. And she was always afraid of Krishna, that he may not leave me away. He may not leave me away, or maybe he may leave me away. Always afraid. Sometimes Krishna was joking with Rukmini Devi. My dear Rukmini Devi, Raja Kanya, you were the daughter of a king. And you, it was better you could have married Shishupala. I'm simply a coward boy. In this way, husband and wife joking. Krishna was joking, and Lakshmi Rukmini Devi became so afraid that immediately she fainted, that Krishna is now finding out the way to give me up. Wow. So, exploring this topic, that Krishna said certain things that made Rukmini faint, but immediately he picked her up and he took care of her. And he pacified her and he made her happy. And he assured her that I'm not going to leave you. And then she was happy after that. The story goes on and she's going to smile. I just wanted to hear you to say something, Krishna said. And then she starts talking. And it's the most beautiful talk. How she describes material nature and how people are attached to a body made of bones and blood. And they think this is the goal of life. So I would like to relate this to our lives. Because the Bhagavatam is to be applied practically. It's not just a theoretical concept that we come and we listen to it. We need to apply in our lives. All of us, at one time or another, especially Hare Krishnas, we had to make somebody unhappy. Like just joining the Hare Krishna movement, I'm sure we made quite a few people unhappy. I remember when I joined, my parents had great hopes for me. And seeing me as a Hare Krishna wasn't one of their hopes. And I was a very good student, always did well in school, and my sister was not. So, and the only kids they had was a boy and a girl. So at least one of them is doing well. He wanted me to be a doctor, and suddenly I joined the temple. 20 years later, I went home and I was also visiting my childhood friends who were dear to me. And now when I was there, I was loved by them. Their parents loved me. My friends loved me. We were all good friends. So I was sitting one of my friends, Miguel, from an Italian family, and he told me, you know, when you left, we thought that your parents had done something bad to you, and then you left home. I said, no, that's not true. Yeah, but all these years I've been thinking this for 20 years. And I was wondering what my parents went through with the neighbors thinking like that. And only after 20 years I heard that. I said, no, they never did anything bad to me. Actually, they were amazing parents. And I loved them so much. No, they never did anything. It was just my own decision. It was a spiritual calling that I had to follow. I said, I want you to go and tell everybody that it was not the case. Better late than ever. So I'm going to tell you the story of a devotee that really made his parents suffer. They suffered and suffered a lot. But eventually he made up. But making up things is not just that we go and say nice words. There's a much higher way of making things up by becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. That we can make up for all the disturbances we have caused in this world and much more. And we can help many more people than we could have done in any other way. And this devotee is actually His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So I'm going to tell the story of what happened to him. He always had very supporting parents. He grew up in a family of three boys. There was the youngest one, himself, and an older one. And his mother was always a very caring and exemplary mother. When they came home, either from school or from playing, she always had many preparations from them. She spent a long time cooking nice things for them. Not necessarily things that we eat, but things that they ate at that time. And they knew that she was always home. She was a very chaste wife. At this time when he gave this class, his parents were attending the class. And they had been married for 54 years. And he was saying that in America, divorce rate is 70% on the first 3 years. 70% of the couples get divorced. And my parents did something like a miracle, that for 54 years they did not get divorced. And in America, to stay married for 54 years and not get divorced is as hard as taking sannyas, he said. So they made like a miracle. And one time, he was ill, and he was in the hospital being treated. He was 16. And on those days, that generation of his parents was very common that many, many people smoked cigarettes. Many women, many men, and was actually considered upscale, prestigious. They wouldn't hold the cigarette in a special way, you know. I remember seeing movies. In my family, they were not smokers, but I remember seeing movies, some classy, you know. People didn't even know that cigarettes were bad for their health. The cigarette companies were advertising otherwise. No, this is just cheap talk. It doesn't hurt you at all. So his mother was a smoker as well. She had been smoking for 20 years. And he was there in the hospital, lying on the hospital bed. And she was next to him and she was smoking. And at one point he told her, this cigarette smoke is making me sick. Please put it out. She went outside and she was in tears. And she thought, if my smoking is displeasing my sons, then I won't smoke anymore. And that was the last cigarette that she smoked in her life. And you know, to give up smoke is not something simple. For many people, it's more difficult than giving up alcohol and drugs. People struggle, people die, and they can't give up smoking. I know one of my customers, he lost his voice. He can no longer talk. He uses a machine that he types on the machine, and the machine speaks with you. And I asked him, what happened to you? Smoking. And he could not give up. So she gave up for love for her children. And his father was a very dedicated father as well. When the father was driving him to college, no, he was going away to another place in college. The father was driving him. The father told him that, I want you to know something. I will always be there for you. And I will never betray you. Either you become a saint, little his father knew. Either you become a saint, or you become a criminal and go to jail. I will always be there for you, and I will never betray you. And he said, Radhanath Swami said that at that time I had tears in my eyes. Because I knew that he really meant what he said. And then came vacation. He was 18 and came vacation from college, summer vacation. And Radhanath said, I'm going to England. And I will be back in 2 or 3 months. His parents were concerned because he didn't have money and they didn't have much money. He actually bought a ticket for $65 for Luxembourg. And that was all the money he had. He thought that I learned some philosophy and religion at this school, but it's just theoretical. I want something practical. So let me go to Europe, to the church, to the temples that are so old. I need to find God. He had a calling. He said that nobody in my life had taught me that, but somehow I had that in my heart, and I wanted to go. So he went, and from there, later he went to Greece. And several months passed, 3 months passed, and his parents had no news from him. And he was meditating in a cave in Greece. And in that cave, he had the calling that you should go to India. He's on his way to India. And at one point, he's in Iraq. Iran. He's in Iran. And from Iran, he sent a letter to his parents, an aerogram. Can you imagine? You leave home to go to England, and you're supposed to come back after 3 months. And then after 6 months, your parents get a letter from Iran with no returning address. How would they feel? And he said, I'm going to India. So he went to India, and he was meditating in the caves of the Himalayas. And he sent another letter to his parents, but again, no returning address because, no, they don't have mailboxes and caves. So, and then, after many, many months, at one time he was in Vrindavan, and he had an address. And he wrote to his parents, and he wrote on the envelope, Jai Radhe. And finally, there was a way for them to communicate with him. Because his parents were desperate. They had gone to the Indian consulate and they spoke to the consul. His father said, I need to find my son. He's in India. Please, you must help us find him. At that time, India had 600 million inhabitants. And the consul said, there are 600 million people in India. And you said he's in the cave. It's a very difficult task. How are we going to find him? And he had a friend who had a private jet that the daughter had gone to India also, and he could not find her. And the friend said, let's go to India, we'll find them. And Radhanatha Swami's father said, how are we going to find him? Where do we go? He's somewhere in a mountain, in a cave. So they gave up the idea. So then they got this letter from Vrindavan. His father read the letter and replied to him. And he said when he got the letter of his father, he saw that the letter was all tainted with drops of tears. And the ink was mixed with the tears in some areas you could not read. And he said, I wished I had kept all those letters. And he could not remember exactly what the letter said. But at the end, His father ended the letter saying, "From your broken-hearted father, who is dying to see you." And then his younger brother also sent a letter. And the brother was very angry with him. "You don't know what you are doing. You are killing your parents. They are dying for you. They basically cannot do anything else, just suffering so much. Because you completely disappear. You may not care for them, but we care for them. And if they die, it's going to be your fault. You should immediately come home." So he wrote the letter back. "If they really want so much to see me, tell them to come to Vrindavan." So 2 weeks one way, 2 weeks another way, after a month he receives a letter from his father. The letter said, "I've never been outside the U.S. I don't even know where Vrindavan is. But if that's what it takes for me to see you, I will come to see you in Vrindavan. Just send me information how to get there." So he wrote the letter with all the information how to get there and how to get to Vrindavan. But then in the meantime, his visa expired. And the government would not renew his visa. So he had to leave India. So he wrote again to his parents and said, "If you want me to come home, I'm going to come home because my visa has expired. But I don't have money. I can hijack all, hitchhike all the way back to the U.S. But it may take me months and months. Or you can send me some money to the American Express office in Kathmandu because I'm going to be there." So he went there, and the money was there. There was sufficient money. And he wrote back from Amsterdam saying, "I'm going back, but I'm going back slowly. No, I mean Amsterdam." And then he was in London, and then he arrived in the U.S. And he's in New York, and he had to buy another ticket to Miami. And then he met a devotee of Krishna at the airport with Dhoti and Shika, and he was wearing a chadar, rather not, but he had his matted hair. And he told the devotee, "Are you a Hare Krishna?" "Yes, I'm a disciple of Prabhupada. I want to go to Los Angeles to see Prabhupada. He's in Los Angeles. But I don't have money." "So how much money do you need?" And the amount of money the devotee needed was exactly the amount of money he had to buy his ticket to Miami. So he gave the money. And his parents were waiting at the airport. And he doesn't come. He doesn't arrive. And he calls his parents, collect. He said, "No, I was at the airport. I was going to buy a ticket. But this devotee came and he wanted to see Prabhupada. And I felt that I need to give him the money. So I gave him the money." So they managed to get him another ticket. And he goes there. So then at least he was home. And then he goes to New Vrindavan and he lives in New Vrindavan. And his father comes to visit. And it was winter. And he was a pujari in New Vrindavan, living far away, taking care of Radha Vrindavanath. And there was no way to get to that place. He said that it was Radha Vrindavanath, maybe another deity that they had there. There was no way to get to that place by car. It was several miles away. You had to get in a bullock cart or walking. There was a lot of mud and it was very cold. And somehow his father got there in a bullock cart with a lot of hay in it. And then he gave prasadam to his father, but there were no utensils. And his father said, "How am I going to eat?" He said, "No, with your hands." And the father said, "I need to use the bathroom." He said, "Well, we have no bathroom here. You have to go to the forest and you make a hole." And the father said, "Well, I will wait until I get back to Pittsburgh." And then the father said, "What do you do here?" "So I worship the deities all day long," because he couldn't leave that place because he was the pujari actually. So his father had to go to that specific area of New Vrindavan to meet with him. He said, "Oh, all day you do this?" "Yeah, all day long you worship these deities." The father said, "No, We invested so much in you for you to all day being playing with dolls. No, all the money, all the time we invested. He said, they're not dolls. No, they're the supreme personality of God. So he was preaching to his father. And then finally the father has to leave. And the devotee was very late, 1 hour late. The bullock cart broke. They brought another car that had cow manure. And somehow they cleaned everything, but his father had to sit there. And he gave lots of books to his father, and his father left. The father took a flight from Pittsburgh to Chicago, where they lived. They had a house in Chicago and an apartment in Miami. And when he got to Chicago, he met a Hare Krishna devotee who came to him selling a book. He said, yes, I'm going to support my son's movement. He said, yeah, I want to buy the book. But I have only $20 left. And I need 15 for the taxi. So can you give me change? I give you 5. Which was a good donation on those days. And the devotee said, oh, yes. The devotee gave the book. He gave $20. And the devotee said, well, this book is actually $30. But it's okay. We can settle with 20. You know, with 20. And he turned his back and left. And he went after, no, please, please don't do this. No, I need this money to take a taxi. When he did this, another devotee came from his back and punched him on the neck that he fell on the floor, almost unconscious. When he managed to stand up, 4 policemen were there. The devotees were in handcuffs, and 20 people were around. And the policemen said, they are going to jail. We saw it, and there are 20 witnesses that saw it. They are going to jail. And Radhanatha Swami's father said, no, no, I don't want that. My son is part of this movement. This is actually a good movement. And I don't want 2 people like them to give a bad name to this movement. I don't want them to go to jail. So, and then many years later, his parents went to him to visit him in India, in Mumbai. So they went through all this pain and suffering, which is not easy for a father and a mother. It's very difficult. So they went to visit him in Mumbai. And that's when he gave this class saying this. And he said that he was leading kirtan and his mother was dancing with Srinathaji's mother in the temple. And they were spinning around, dancing. And his father was with his arms raised, dancing back and forth with the devotees. And then they went on a tour of different temples in India. And as is a tradition for tourists, they went to the Taj Mahal, which his parents thought was the least eventful part of the trip, actually. And on the way back to the Delhi airport, Radhanath Swami said, I want to stop in Vrindavan. He said, okay. And coincidentally, it was December 7th, which was Radhanath Swami's birthday, and which is actually my mother's birthday also, December 7th. You know, my mother was a wonderful mother. And they told him that, it's your birthday today. Now, they're in the car from the Taj Mahal to Vrindavan. So we want to give you a gift. So whatever gift you want, we'll give to you. Just ask anything. He said, well, you really want to give me a gift? I just want one gift. From the moment we reach the outskirts of Vrindavan to the moment we leave, we are going to chant Hare Krishna together. I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, and you are going to repeat Hare Krishna. That's the only gift I want. He said, okay, that's fine. So they arrived in Vrindavan in a car. And Radhanath Swami told them, oh, you have really nice shoes. So please leave your shoes here in the car. Because we're going to be visiting temples. You know, somebody may take the shoes. So they left the shoes in the car. When his father steps out of the car, what happens? He steps on a big lump of cow manure. Cow dung. And his foot gets soaked all the way to his uncle. And his father says, what do I do now? He said, hey, it's common dung, it's pure. It's pure. They managed to wash it, and he went to different temples. They were sitting in one temple, chanting Hare Krishna for 1 hour in front of the deities. And then, the Radharaman temple. And then his mother said, I need to go to the bathroom. And he said, well, there's no bathroom here. You can go to the forest. She said, I will wait until we get to the airport. And then they go to the Krishna Balaram temple, and there was a bathroom, and she was able to use the bathroom, and she said, this is the best temple. But you see, the whole, because of his devotion to Krishna, his purity, his sincerity, his parents endured all that pain and that suffering of separation and being attacked by a member of his own temple. But still, his father stood by him like he had promised. And he said that, I tested my father to the limits. I tested him to the limits. And he kept his word. So, similarly, now we are going to, knowingly or unknowingly, we are going to make somebody unhappy in this life as we traverse this existence. And making up with somebody like Krishna did with Rukmini. It's not just with words, but if we become really sincere souls and servants of Prabhupada, that's the best way that we're going to make up with everybody, even those that we don't know. And they will benefit. They will benefit from our existence, from knowing us, for associating with us. So that's the best thing we can do. And I want to finish this class with a nice pastime. Because, you know, Rukmini is a member of Krishna's family. And we are also a member of Krishna's family. We're all part of Krishna's family, Prabhupada's family. So one time in Vrindavan in summer, late summer 1977, Prabhupada woke up. He said, I had a dream. And immediately, everybody came around. Wow. What was the dream? Tamal Krishna was there and several other devotees. And Prabhupada said, there was a big assembly. Assembly of drunkards and chanters. The chanters were chanting, but the drunkards, they were crazy. They were causing disturbance. And some of the drunkards, they were becoming chanters. And Tamal Krishna asked, were some of the chanters becoming drunkards? Because, you know, Tamal Krishna was very interactive. That's some one thing Prabhupada liked on him. He would interact. He didn't like to deal with Shruta Kirti. Shruta Kirti said this, because Shruta Kirti would just agree with everything, would not interact. But Tamal Krishna would interact, would ask, and give different opinions. Then, so he asked, were some of the chanters becoming drunkards? And Prabhupada said, no. Chanters never fall down. They are part of Krishna's family. And they are on the list back home, back to Godhead. So when I read this, I said, well, I am on this list. Maybe at the end of the list. But I am a chanter too. And we're all chanters. No, some chant more, some chant less, some with more purity, some with less purity. But we're all chanters. So we are on the list back home, back to Godhead. And we are part of Krishna's family. And like Radhanath Swami's father would do anything for him. Certainly, Prabhupada, our eternal father, will do anything for us. And Krishna will do anything for us. And we have to be ready to do anything for them as well. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, any comments. You're welcome.
I think there is in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I don't remember exactly, but it's a common answer. Krishna told Rukmini, I actually married you not because you sent me the letter, I mean, all these things that you're going to commit suicide and all that. The reason that I married you is because your face looks just like, similar to Srimati Radharani's face, so I'm missing her so much that I cannot find her because I'm far away from her. So, but you look just kind of similar to her. And that's the actual reason I'm marrying you, not because you sent me all this letter with the Brahmin and all that stuff.
Okay. Where is this from? I think the antenna on the back of the mic is loose. Or we have to change the mic. We have another. Another comment or question? Jamassim doesn't have a comment. Jamassim.
This is a bit controversial. It changes the mood of the moon. I really appreciate your class. This is a discussion that Prabhupada had in Bombay. I think they were walking on Juhu Beach. This is a story that Giri Raj else told. And they said, if there's a man drowning, should you try to save him? And devotees weren't really sure how to answer. And then Prabhupada said, well, actually, I think the devotees said, yes, we should try to save him, Prabhupada, of course. He said, actually, devotees don't have anything to do with the karma of another person. But on the principle of loka vichara, this is according to public sentiment, then you should save him, because interfering with someone else's karma has nothing to do with pure devotional service. So then there's an example of this with, there's a certain inherent contradiction, you know, in this. So then there's an example. So lokavichara, you know, for public sentiment, if you do save him, then everyone will think you're great and it will facilitate preaching. So then there's an example in the, there was a Melbourne Ratiyatra, I think it might have been 74, and the devotees were building the cart, and right next to this cart, there was a building, it was like a six-story building, and it caught on fire. And people were screaming at the windows, help, save me. So devotees took the canopy from the Ratiyatra cart, and the people jumped, and they held the canopy, and they caught the people. And then it was headlines in the all across Australia. And then Prabhupada, he was in Bombay, and he had them print, reproduce the headlines. He had to make 3 lakhs and distribute it all over Bombay. It will really help our preaching. So what I'm wondering, and I've taught this point about loka vichara, and everyone gets upset when they say, no, this, you know, it's not our business to get involved with the karma of someone. And but for loka vichara, and it almost seems, anyway, I think you get the point. Can you clear that?
Yes, okay. Yes. One thing also is that a devotee of Krishna is selfless. So we're not going to help somebody that is in a distressful material situation just for publicity, because that would be somewhat selfish. So he wants to help just for the sake of helping. But there's another pastime also that's an interesting one. It came to Prabhupada's knowledge in Mayapur that his former wife and daughter were going through a very difficult time in Calcutta. So he sent Bhavananda there to tell them that they can come to Mayapur and move here, and I will take care of them. And Bhavananda said, Prabhupada, your god brothers are going to criticize you. He said, it's okay. When there's an emergency, first you have to take care of the emergency. It's okay if they criticize. So Bhavananda went there. They didn't want to come, but he did go there, and he offered them. So Prabhupada also told Brahmananda, and this I heard from him directly many years ago, and recently I communicated with him on Facebook, and I requested him, can you confirm that you said this? Because, you know, after years, you kind of mind can not think properly. He said, yes, I said this. That Prabhupada told him that Krishna consciousness is 10% faith and 90% common sense. So it's a common sense that any human being that has a kind heart, that sees somebody suffering and you can help, you are in a position of help, you help. You're not going to think, well, they're not their body, it's just the karma. That doesn't seem to be the behavior of a saintly person. Of course, we have to use common sense. You know? We're not going to stop our mission. No, we're going to a big preaching event, and I'm giving the class at that event, and there's an old woman crossing the street, and I'm going to be there late just to help her cross the street. I don't think it's necessary. Somebody else can help. But there are other situations that if we can help, we should do it. Now, parents, often I saw Govinda Dasi was here. She was taking care of her mother. You know, it's a common thing, you know. Devotees take care of their siblings in difficult situations, you know.
this discussion about the drowning man. I remember correctly, presenting the principles of Uttama Bhakti.
Yeah.
You know, that we only do things which are favorable, you know, for pleasing Krishna, and do that continuously. So that was how he wanted us to understand that. Now, but it seems selfish, but what is real selflessness is serving Krishna with heart and soul. And there's another example.
But that does not exclude.
Well, anyway,
serving Krishna with heart and soul does not exclude that you can be kind to other beings.
No,
in times of need.
What is the greatest kindness? Yeah. Is that they become Krishna's devotee.
It is, but the greatest kind does not exclude any other types of kindness. It's not that I do the greatest kindness and then I'm insensitive to the rest of the world and to anything else.
There was an example when I believe they were in a car going to Vrindavan from Delhi, and there was a horrible accident where this man was hit. He was on a motorcycle. He was hit by another vehicle, just really messed up. And other devotees were saying, "Oh God, we should stop and help." But Prabhupada didn't pay attention, and he just kept going. He wanted the car to keep going.
So I heard this past time, but it was a little different.
Okay.
Yeah, because the devotees were involved in the accident. And Prabhupada said, no, don't stop, because if we stop, the whole area is going to come and think that we're at fault and it can create a problem for us.
Maybe that's a different one.
And I was in an accident in India also, in a bus with the devotees. And the devotees made the wrong turn. The driver made the wrong turn. So a truck coming on the opposite direction had a major accident, and you could see blood all over the place. And I said, stop, we need to help them. And the devotee said, if we stop here, people will kill us. We have to keep going. Yeah. Get the mic. Get the mic.
You know, I mean, there's a place to parse these things. But, you know, if you just go in the water and save the fella, take him out of the water, and everybody becomes, these people are gentlemen, they care about us, they're respectable people, our heart, it opens up their hearts that these people have something worth giving to us, that they're respectable people. That's favorable devotional service. I mean, if you're going to, like, stalk the Rath Yatra to save, you know, just send some, you know, you don't have to stop the whole program to save the person. Maybe just send one person. I mean, it's just common sense. It's common sense. We're supposed to be gentlemen. I'm not, but I know theoretically we should be.
This is on the neck of devotion, actually, that one should not give up, and I'm saying exactly as it's written, one should not give up anything that can be utilized in devotional service. So attitudes like this that are attitudes of kindness, can be utilized in devotional service because people become favorable to people that are nice like this. That's correct. There's a Mataji in the back. No, that you're right. I completely agree.
I'm hoping that somebody recalls the detail, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would be walking with his disciples and someone would be begging, and he encouraged his household disciples to give.
Yes, okay. Yes. And Jayapataka Swami also, I heard from him, because I used to go to the holy place in India, like Radhakund, another place, and never give one paisa. Never, because my thought was, no, who knows, they're going to use for sense gratification. I gave one paisa. And one day I'm with Jayapataka Swami, and he says, well, we're going to the holy place to bring some money so we can give to all of them. I said, what does that mean? No, you always go and give. No, you help them. And you give money to everybody. And Srila Bhakti, there's another pastime of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that a disciple, they were walking, several of them. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in the front. And a woman offered, she was very poor, and she offered some coins to one of his disciples he didn't want to take. That's the other side of the coin. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta saw, he went back there. And he took the coins from her. And he told the disciple, if we don't help her to use this money in devotional service, how is she going to make advancement? She wants to give. We're not take. She wants to give. So let's take and help her. The other side of the coin. He has something to say to them. You can go back to him.
Oh, is that in a story?
Just don't move with the mic too much because there's some problem in
there. It's okay now. I don't remember exactly, I think it was in Bombay. Srila Prabhupada was walking with the devotees and he was preaching about giving charity to the right person, the mother of goodness, devotees, brahmanas, you know. But then a beggar came by and there was a whole bunch of people in that area, and then he came straight to Srila Prabhupada, the beggar. I mean, it was many devotees walking by. I mean, walking with Srila Prabhupada, but... And then Srila Prabhupada immediately got some money and gave it to the beggar. But there was many people, like, looking at Srila Prabhupada, I mean, outsiders. And then they kept going, you know, walking. And then the devotees immediately said, Srila Prabhupada, you were just saying that we're not supposed to be giving charity to like, anybody like that, because then we get entangled in karma, you know. Because he was just preaching about that. And then Srila Prabhupada said, what the devotee is saying, like, Loka Vichar. How do you say that, Prabhupada? Loka Vichar? He said, yeah, but if I don't, I mean, he said, there were so many people, like, looking at us. You know, if I don't give anything to them, they're going to think, oh, these Hare Krishna people, they're just taking. They don't give nothing away. So sometimes you have to be like that. And then there's another story.
We just have to be normal people of the society. You know, yeah. When anytime we act completely abnormally, it actually harms our preaching, because intelligent people see, these people are really weird. Not just the way they dress, but the way they behave. They don't care for anybody. They don't, no. It's not nice. No. People like to be with nice people. And Prabhupada was a nice person.
I heard from Burjan about this point that Raghavmukha Mataji made. Maybe Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is that the standard in the holy dham, if there's a beggar there and he chants the holy name, and if you don't give him a donation, then your heart will become hard. So that's the standard. You know, like in India, there's a lot of beggars that are real criminal kind of element, you know, and there's all kinds of drugs that go in. And,
oh, yeah.
So it's not that one does it indiscriminately, but like in the holy dham, if someone chants Hare Krishna, then you have to give. Otherwise, you know, it hardens the heart. I think it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Mm. Thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.